I wonder how quickly you take down the decorations after Christmas. Are you someone who keeps the lights out and the tree up well into January? Or do you put it all back into the box as soon as the main event is over? One of my work colleagues told me that last year he started taking down his Christmas tree on Christmas night when his visitors were reversing out of his driveway and his wife was waving them goodbye at the door. Maybe that sounds a little bit extreme, but what do we do whenever Christmas is over? Today is Boxing Day, and so it shouldn't feel like the Christmas season is over just yet, with still more food to enjoy, people to greet, and celebrations to have. But what happens when Christmas is over? How will we approach our life and our faith in the weeks and months ahead after the buzz of the Christmas season? This morning, I want to read just two verses that are tucked away right at the end of Luke chapter 2. They aren't often read at carol services, and they come long after angelic appearances and shepherds visiting and wise men giving. In fact, they are some of the only clues we get about Jesus from the moment of his birth until the start of his ministry almost three decades later. So what did Jesus and his family do whenever Christmas was over? Have a listen to Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52. It says, "Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Let me read that again. "Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." It's a brilliant couple of verses. Jesus going back to an ordinary home in Nazareth and submitting in obedience to an ordinary couple God had chosen to raise his son. Note the ordinariness of the setting and the obedience of Jesus. Maybe that's a word in season for us in a post-Christmas phase. The ordinariness and our obedience. How can we continue to be obedient to Jesus in the ordinariness of our lives? Obedience in the ordinary. That's what we're called to. And then there's that lovely little phrase that Mary treasured up all these things that she had heard and seen. She pondered them in her heart. The incredible events of the early months and years of Jesus' life, all the strange visitors and the expensive gifts and the miraculous circumstances. But Mary didn't rush to the next thing. She treasured them and she pondered them in her heart. How can we not just crave the next special event or holiday season, but actually pause to reflect on the goodness of God in our lives? Rather than rush for the next adrenaline shot, how can we learn to quiet and still ourselves in thankfulness, reflection, and in worship? But today I want to focus on four aspects of how Jesus grew in verse 52 of Luke chapter 2. Because Luke tells us that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So growing in wisdom, growing in stature, growing in favor with God, and growing in favor with man. Four movements that help us to look to the challenges of the year ahead. How can we grow in spiritual wisdom? How can we grow in physical stature? How can we grow in favor with God? And how can we grow in connection with others? So firstly, let's consider spiritual wisdom. See, wisdom is so needed in these days. In a time of fake news and conspiracy theories, we need to work hard at times to determine and to distinguish what is really true. But growing in spiritual wisdom will help us to navigate the confusions of our world with grace and truth. As Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And how we need that. We need spiritual wisdom. Karl Barth once said that you should take your Bible and take your newspaper and read both, but interpret the newspapers from your Bible. What will growing in spiritual wisdom look like for you this year? Will it be less scrolling and more reading? Maybe It might be reflecting before reacting. It could be listening to and learning from a spiritual mentor in our lives. Or it could be leaning into the teaching that we receive here on Sundays, taking notes or journaling or reflecting on it afterwards. What will it look like to grow in spiritual wisdom this year? The session on the Alpha Course that deals with the question of how God guides us suggests some different ways that we can grow in wisdom. It encourages us to rely on commanding Scripture, engaging with the Bible. It encourages us to reflect and live with the compelling Spirit in our lives, to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us. And it also encourages us to live with common sense as we rationally think about the situations that face us. So we can grow in spiritual wisdom through a mix of the Scriptures, the Spirit, and common sense. What if you asked God? What if you invited Him right now to help you to grow in wisdom this year? But what if you also ask God to help you to grow in stature this year? Now, that might sound a bit of a bizarre line to hear in a sermon at church, particularly from a preacher who's over 6 foot tall. Why would God want us to grow in physical stature? Why was this an important thing that Luke picked out about Jesus? Well, in some ways, it's pointing to the humanity of Jesus, how he grew in ways that we do as well. And obviously, it's not important to God how tall we are or how toned we are, but our bodies do matter to God. We are both body and soul, and when we steward our bodies well, we can often extend the years that we're physically able to serve God and others. Of course, on the other hand, a preoccupation with fitness can become an idol in our lives, and it's worth reflecting on where we place our identity, whether it's on our personal and physical appearance or on Christ. But it still does matter to God what we do with our bodies. The Message translation of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 puts it like this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. We should place our bodies before God as an offering and seek to honor Him with it. Maybe that's a prayer for you at the start of this year, because we're both body and soul. How we treat our bodies often has implications for our souls as well. So how might God want you to grow in stature in the next year? So growing in spiritual wisdom, growing in physical stature, but it also says that Jesus grew in favor with God. Now, it's important to note that favor with God cannot be earned. It's only given. And in fact, for all who know and trust in Jesus, it's freely given. But in the context of this passage, we know that Jesus was already loved, and he was already accepted by his Father. And yet somehow Luke says that he was also growing in favor with God. I think an obvious challenge for us here is simply to ensure that we are prioritizing God in our lives, that we're prioritizing connecting with him. In a world that often encourages us to turn our gaze inward or to even look horizontally at others, it takes intentionality to continue to look to God. We need to allow God's word and God's presence to be a major fuel source of our lives. The culture is too strong for us just to rely on 1 hour a week at church or a quick 5-minute Bible read in the morning. Fruitfulness requires faithfulness. We need to learn what it means to abide in Christ. And the habit of Bible reading or devotions is part of God's open invitation to spend time in his presence. And to capture this as a consistent rhythm in our lives requires that we make and take time for it. In a world of ever-increasing distraction, can we quieten our hearts long enough to focus our minds on the ways of God? So how can you grow in this? Practically, why don't you open your Bible, silence yourself, and invite God to speak to you through his word? Pick a book of the Bible to read through slowly and carefully. We've just been reading through Acts as a church, so you might want to go there, or we'll walk through Jonah early next year. Enter into the narrative that you're reading and pay attention to what words or phrases you're drawn to. Read the passage again and reflect on what truth it's revealing to you. what characteristic of God it's showing, or what encouragement it brings, or what action it might provoke, and then take time to pray about what you've just read. But please also understand that connecting with God doesn't just mean reading your Bible. It means putting it into practice. Gandhi said that Christians look after a document containing enough dynamite to blow all civilization to pieces, turn the world upside down, and bring peace to a battle-torn planet. But they treat it as though it is nothing more than a piece of literature. What a powerful statement. The Bible should change our lives. And so growing with God doesn't just mean learning the commandments, but living them. Jesus said that we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And so if you want to counteract temptation in your life, then get familiar with God's word. If you want to walk with Jesus more, then say yes to him in small and quiet ways. Let's prioritize our connection to God this year. Grow in favor with him. And then finally, Jesus grew in favor, not just with God, but also with other humans around him as well. So how can we grow in connection with others this year? You know, there's no such thing as solo discipleship. It doesn't exist. It doesn't work. Hebrews chapter 10 said this, "Let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." It feels like these words are even more important after a season when patterns of church engagement have been so disrupted. But there's no replacement for gathering together for worship and teaching. Gathering together as the church really matters. To step out of our individualized little cultures and take our place among a diverse body of people under the authority of God's word will help us to be better equipped to understand it for ourselves and to live it out. In environments like this, I receive teaching that challenges me. I sing songs that lift my eyes off myself. I take my place within an intergenerational family of faith where I see older believers who've walked the journey of faith much longer than I have. And I'm energized by the vibrancy of faith in younger generations. We need each other. And if the experiences of the pandemic have taught me anything, it's that I need others to walk with me, to help me follow Jesus. Spiritual growth requires Christian community. And Jesus understood it. He grew in favor, not just with God as a kind of solo father-son relationship, but he grew in favor with humans, with mankind around him. He related to those in the world beside him. In his brilliant little book, A Creative Minority, John Tyson writes this, "A creative minority is a Christian community in a web of stubbornly loyal relationships, knotted together in a living network of persons who are committed to practicing the way of Jesus together for the renewal of the world." And yet this takes effort. To build a web of stubbornly loyal relationships will require us showing up, being present. It will require us initiating conversations and journeying towards others. It will take love and commitment and even forgiveness at times. Growing in connection with others doesn't simply come to us. It will take us to move towards others. So how can you grow your connection with others this year? In the year that lies ahead, how can you grow in favor, not just with God, but also with the human beings around you? And as one of the elders here in Carnmoney, as you watch on this morning, let me encourage you to make engaging with your church a priority this year, growing not just with God, but with others too. So how can we grow in spiritual wisdom, physical stature, and favor with God and people in the year ahead? Can I encourage you to reflect on those four areas over the next few days before the calendar turns to 2022? As Christmas goes back in the box over the next few days, can I encourage you to take this post-Christmas season as an opportunity and maybe a fresh opportunity to lean into God and his ways once again in your life? To not just rely on Christmas or any other seasonal event in the church to fuel your faith, but seek to grow in spiritual wisdom and stature and in favor with God throughout all of your life. To finish, I just asked a couple of our elders that question about how they are seeking to do that this year. And this is how they responded. A couple said this, as commanded, I want to seek this year to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and also to remember to love my neighbor as myself. Another said, I seek to grow by developing my fellowship within this church family. And another said, I want to take time to reflect and to count all the blessings that God has given me, to remember his goodness to me, and to help me to continue follow him with hope in the days ahead. So it's my prayer that you as individuals and we as a church would grow in spiritual wisdom and stature and in favor with God and people this Christmas time, but also in the year ahead. Amen.